Welcome to the River Mountain Church Preaching Library. It is our prayer and indeed our hope that this message might inspire your life. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the preaching of God's Word.
So this message this morning is one that I have found personally fascinating, and I've never seen this before. Maybe you did, but I did not. And when it hit me, it was like so strong that I just knew that God wanted me to preach this. And the message deals with having the promise of God or the presence of God. If you had a choice, which one would you pick? The answer to every prayer you've ever had or His presence without any answers to any of your prayers? And what we're going to find in Exodus 33 is a dilemma that Moses faces, and it becomes so clear to him that he can either have the promise or the presence, but most likely, and this is it, most likely, he cannot have both. And again, I never saw this. But before we get into this, because I'm going to be preaching on 3 weeks in Exodus, I want to just give you a little overview of the Bible from beginning to end. And I realize, how much time you guys got? Got to go quick. Because the whole Bible is a series of starting and stopping. He starts with Adam and Eve, and what happens? Almost immediately, they fall. He starts again with Cain and Abel, and immediately, there's a murder. He starts again with Seth, and not very far after that, there's a flood. And so there's a stop, start, stop, start. Then he starts again with Noah, and then eventually this whole thing goes wrong, and we have the Tower of Babel. And it's like stopping, starting, stopping, starting, until we get to one man who kind of takes the process along that really shows us what it means to be a believer. Does anybody know who that man is? He has a name, and it's Abraham. Abraham is the father of faith. He is the beginning of the patriarchs. He is the one who will teach us what obedience to God looks like. He will get a promise. That will be Isaac. And God surely afterwards says, what about the promise? Kill it. He's the son of promise. Many nations will come. And God says, after he's born, after there's much jubilation, take your son to the top of the mountain and there sacrifice him. In other words, end the promise and you will still have my presence. Do you understand this? What we see in Abraham is the beginning of the story of redemption. A father willing to sacrifice his son. As we look at the story, we see Isaac being given wood to carry upon his back. It's hard to miss the image. And do you know what? And this was the most staggering thing when I was in Israel, because I did not know this. When you go to Mount Moriah, when you go to the place where Jesus was crucified, it is the exact place where this happened. Jesus was crucified on Mount Moriah, where this sacrifice of a father willing to give his son because he loved the presence more than the promise. And so we see redemption. So Abraham takes us past that stop, start, failure thing. And then we have Jacob. And now we're beginning to move. And now we have 12 tribes similar to how Jesus brought us 12 apostles. And so now a nation is beginning ready to form. And out of the 12 comes one savior figure again. His name is Joseph. And he will save the people again from death. And so we're beginning to see this redemption thing of there being a problem, but along comes a savior. Eventually Joseph, who brings them into Egypt to rescue them, after about 400 years, they go back into slavery. And then comes the next savior figure to roll the story along, and his name is Moses. So I took you all the way. Hey, that was pretty quick. I got you all the way up here. Stop, start. And now we go boom, 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 boom. And this story that you're seeing unfold before you is the only story there is. Are you ready for this? It's the only story. If you get this story, beginning here with Moses, you will get the only story. So it's crucial that you understand this story. And it begins with baptism. How many of you have been baptized? So you received the blood of the Lamb, the Passover Lamb. You were sent out of the kingdom of darkness, out of Egypt. And now the first thing that happens is you're faced with water, and the water parts. And we're told biblically that this is the symbol of baptism. When they get to the wilderness, what happens? There's the Spirit. The Spirit. He is in a fire and a cloud. And they are going to learn after baptism how to follow the Spirit. I said this is the only story. And then there is sanctification. And then after you have lived out your Christianity 40, 80 years, how many people know we're going to the Promised Land? Amen. This is the story. And as we look at it, after this one story, if you read the rest of the Bible, you will find out it's really just a kind of a process of trying to get the story right. There are the prophets. And then Israel says, we don't want prophets, we want kings. We want to be like other people. And so there's a battle that goes on between the kings and the prophets over and over again. And there's this constant use of a sacrifice in order to get them right. And then God says, listen, if you obey the prophets, you will be blessed. If you disobey the prophets, you're going to be cursed. And it just goes back and forth. Read the whole Bible. It's just a matter of kings and prophets and sacrifices and blessings and cursings. All the way from Exodus, all the way till you get to the promise again. Finally, there is the real Messiah. Finally, there is the real Savior. Everything else was a shadow. And he starts his ministry by what? Baptism. The same way we do. The same way the Israelites did. And then he is led by the Spirit. The Spirit comes after the baptism. After you go through the water, there's a Spirit waiting to lead you and guide you. And the Bible tells us that the Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness. Not for 40 years, but for 40 what? Days. And Jesus is totally sanctified. So the process of Christianity is baptism, learn to follow the Spirit, and be sanctified, be made holy, be made righteous. But it starts with baptism, and 1 Corinthians 10 tells us that the waters that they went through, the Israelites went through, the ancestors were all under the cloud, and they all passed through the sea. They were all baptized into Moses in the cloud. So here's the story that I want to tell you today. The fascinating story of Moses. Once you're saved, the first thing that happens at some point is you meet God. Now, you might have met God at your salvation, but now you're going to meet God. And he's going to say, Dennis, this isn't a game anymore. This isn't about you. It's about me saving you and now you following me. Are you ready for this? Are you going to follow? Everybody, when they meet God, are going to be challenged by the Word, the Ten Commandments, what they got in the desert, and the Spirit, and these two things together will lead them and guide them. The Word and the Spirit will then lead them, and they will go through the process of sanctification until they are ready for the Promised Land. Our whole Christian life is about understanding the Word, following the Spirit, and going through a process of sanctification. Can you all say, don't say anything. Because you're going through a process. If you're his, you're going through the process of sanctification. And let me just tell you this. It's not easy. A lot of you have problems today. Things that are going on in your life. And you're like, God, what's happening? And I could almost guarantee you, if there's a God in heaven, he is taking you through the desert. And in the desert, you will learn how to obey him. You will learn how to follow him. And you will learn how to love his presence more than his promises. How many people know things go wrong in life? The promises all fade away. And what you're left with is just his presence. Listen, starts out right here. This is Exodus 19. And by the way, they are only about 3 months into their journey. They come through the Red Sea, 3 months, only 3 months, and they finally get to this mountain. And they're going to meet God at this mountain. And they came into the wilderness of Sinai, and they encamped in the wilderness. Remember, we heard about encampment today. Two people use that word, camping, right? You don't camp, you move forward, right? You heard it in Gettysburg. Encampment. Nope, this is meant to be temporal. They're going to meet God, get some instructions, and God is going to tell them, I'm going to give you my spirit, and we're going to move forward. So in Sinai, they're encamped in the wilderness. They're Israel encamped before the mountain. And by the way, anytime God does something spectacular, he does it on a mountain. Why? A mountain's high, heavens are high, it's the first place God, it's like, this is where God touches down. You want to meet God, you have to go to mountaintops. He walks with you in the valley, but you really meet him in dramatic ways like transfiguration, or you meet him in the law giving, or you meet him in the sacrifice of Isaac or Jesus on Mount Moriah, things that are extremely significant. Heaven on mountain. Listen, when they get there, they're encamped. Moses immediately goes, oh good, I'm going to go up and meet God now. He knows that God's on that mountain. So Moses goes up to meet God. And then he tells the people of Israel, this is God speaking. No, actually, this is God speaking to Moses. He says, tell the people of Israel this. All right, they've come through the sea. They're here now 3 months later. Tell them this. You yourself have seen what I did to the Egyptians, how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. This is all me. I brought you here to this mountain 3 months later. Here's what I'm going to tell you. I'm going to tell you the whole plan. Here's the reason why I brought you to the mountain. Now, therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenants, you shall be a treasured possession among all the peoples of the earth as mine. You will be to me a kingdom of priests and holy nations. I brought you here to myself. Start listening to me. Start obeying me. We're going to take over the world. That's what he's saying. You're going to be my people. And all the people, when they heard this, they all said in unison, all the people answered together when they heard this great message about being God's people. They all said, we'll do it. You picked us, we'll do it. How many people you got saved? Exciting day of your life. God, whatever. I'm on board. Let's do this thing. We'll do it. We will do what the Lord has said. And then Moses reported these words of the people to the Lord. God, I got good news for you. I told the people what you said about being a treasure possession, being with you, all that stuff. They said, we're on board. Problem solved, right? God spoke. People spoke. It's all done. Wish it was that easy. Because one little thing happens here in the story. It gets a little bit more complicated. The Lord says to Moses, okay, I want to meet these people. So you go to the people, you get them consecrated tomorrow, you get them all ready, and then on the third day, notice this says on the third day. On the third day, I'll come down and I've met you already, but I'm going to meet them. We're going to be introduced. And so when the third day came, God knows how to put on a good show. So as the third day is happening, the Bible tells us that Mount Sinai was wrapped in smoke. Fire came down, smoke came down. I mean, this was a laser show. I mean, it was like big time production here. And God is now on the mountain. He wants the people to know that he's on the mountain. And the people have all gotten ready. They're all dressed up. They're all prepared. Big day meeting God. Third month in. And then the Lord says, oh, wait, stop. Go down and come up here with Aaron. And tell the people they can't come any closer. Because I'm a holy God, they can't come any closer. But you come up. And so we find out that Moses comes up a little bit, and then he goes up to the very top. And we find out, I'm going to pause this story right now, because it's very interesting. The people have come close. God has kind of got introduced. He realizes how sinful they are. And he says, no, tell them not to come any further. They've come far enough. But you, Moses, you come up further, and I'm going to give you a set of commandments. And so there for 40 days, Moses and God get into this intense discussion about everything that God wants for his people. In Exodus 21, he gives them the Ten Commandments. Then in Exodus 22 through 31, he starts talking about, make this house where I can come down and meet with the people and meet with you. I'll give you more instructions. We'll have this meeting place where we'll get together and we will meet. And then he gives them all these various details about the law. But basically for 40 days, Moses is up there, greatest time of his life. And then when the people saw that Moses had delayed coming down the mountain, the people gathered themselves together to Aaron and said to him, make us a God who shall go before us. How many people know it's hard to wait on God? And when we get impatient on waiting on God like they did for the 40-day delay, then all of a sudden they're saying, forget the God thing, give us something tangible. Get us something we can see with our eyes. Give us something that can be respected and honored and admired, and all the nations will think we're somebodies. Give us something that looks like importance. Like we're somebodies, not nobodies. What's this whole thing waiting on him? Oh, God. How many people know it's a lot easier just to get something tangible than it is to wait on God? Mystical God. So they make this thing, and we know how the rest of the story goes. Moses is up there on the 40th day. God says, hey, Moses, got some bad news for you. Go down, for your people whom you brought up out of the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves. They have turned aside quickly out of the way that I command. So in other words, that thing you told me about them agreeing to be my people, treasure possession, it's all done. They've already, 40 days in, and they're already quitting. And now therefore, and here's where I want you to begin to see this. God is beginning to say this. I don't know what I got to do to these people to get them to believe that I'm God. Plagues, parting a sea, and now they're turning to gold. And here's what God says. He says, now therefore, let me alone that my wrath may burn hot against them and I may consume them in order that I may make a great nation out of you. In other words, he says, Moses, I'm going to make this easy for you. I'm going to go down there and just wipe them all out. And me and you, you're on board, right? I've tested you. You've proven yourself. Just me and you will start again. Hit the reset button, start again. And this is the beginning where you're going to see Moses is like saying, no, I don't want to leave them behind. Moses implores the Lord and says to him, oh Lord, why does your wrath burn hard against your people whom you have brought out of the land of Egypt with your great promise and mighty hand? In other words, he's saying, listen, I know that they're obstinate. I know that they're terrible. I know that they do all these awful things. But I want you to remember Abraham, Isaac, I want you to remember all of your past servants who did it right, and you promised them that you would multiply their offsprings as the star of the heaven. In other words, don't start again. We've had the stop and start thing. I realize they're terrible, but don't start again just with me. That's going back to Adam and going back to that. No, let's work with what we got. How many people know this is what God does? You know how long God's been putting up with you? You know how many days God could have woke up in the morning and said, I've tried. I've really tried. I've tried to work with you. I've shown you my hand. And I still get this resistance. I still get, I don't want to go to church. I don't want to do this. I don't want to do that. I don't want to. Oh, man. So we know this story, how this ends. Moses comes down, smashes the Ten Commandments. They broke the first one. You should have no graven images. Man, they broke that. It's like they were reading God's mind. God had that as the number one thing not to do. That's the one thing they did do. So basically Moses comes down and says, okay, I didn't take the deal of just starting again, so here's what I want you to do. If you're for the calf, stand over here. If you're for God, stand over here. So let's figure this out. You want God, the whole God thing, you're still on board with that? Stand over here. You want the whole calf thing? Stand over here. How many of you know God gives you what you want? He brings you to a valley decision. And by the way, it doesn't end well for the people who chose the calf. We find out that there were plagues. We found out that the Levites actually murdered about 3,000 of these people. And what we have in God's kingdom from then until now is God will prune his people. When I was first a pastor in a little church, I remember the pastor saying after there was a drop-off in attendance, God's pruning. And I was usually saying, well, maybe you're just not preaching very good. I never said that to him. Maybe you just don't know what you're doing. Maybe that's the thing. And I've come to find out, after walking with the Lord, that he does this all the time. And if you've been with River Mountain Church, you've seen it over and over again. You've seen it over and over again for various reasons. And it's not my preaching, even though my preaching, you know. Listen, God does set the reset button, but he doesn't get rid of everybody. He takes a group of people that really want to go. But here's what I want to show you, and we're going to be closing soon, but I want to show you. Because this is the crux of the message. We're 1 year in. Remember, they spent 40 years. They're only in their first year. It's only 5 months. And God gives Moses the deal of the lifetime. Here's the deal. Listen what he says to him. The Lord says to Moses, here's what I'm going to do for you, Moses. Leave here. Go up from here, you and the people whom you've brought out of the land of Egypt, to the land which I swore to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. I'm going to honor that. And I'm going to give you this. If you will leave right now, take all these people with you. I'm going to send an angel before you. He will drive out the Canaanites, the Amorites, the Hittites. Every ite you can think about, he will get rid of. All of your enemies. And you will beeline it right to the promised land. You're only 5 months in. Here's the deal. I'm sending angels. You can go directly to the promised land. But there's one little catch. Go up to the land flowing with milk and honey. But, does anyone want to know what the but is? Here it is. But. The dilemma of Exodus 33. I will not go up with you. You can have the promise. Milk and honey. Got the angels on standby. They'll take you there. You can have it all. But I'm not going. What do you want? Promise or presence? What do you think Moses chose? We know what he chose, right? But God gives his reason why. He says, now here's what happens. Me knowing the people, me knowing the future, me knowing what they're like, I will consume them on the way. And by the way, does God let these people in? He doesn't. This whole generation is not going to make it. They're not. Not. And God does, in a way, consume them. He says, because they got one serious problem. One little tiny problem. And I'm going to tell you this. It's your problem too. You want to know what it is? In a word. Stiff neck. Stiff neck. What does it mean that you're stiff necked? It's an old farming term. And it simply means this. If you had an animal and he was yoked, and you were trying to get him to go in a certain direction, you might tilt the yoke in a certain way, and his head would begin to turn, and you would get this animal to go in a particular direction. Tilt the yoke, animal tilts his head. But if the animal said this, not tilting my head, not going anywhere, I'm going to go right here where I want to go. That's a stiff neck. God tells you over and over again something to do, over and over again something to do, and you go, not moving my head. You see? And God tries this maybe a little bit, and that doesn't work. Modern examples, if this was a quick, this would be how to know you're a stiff-necked person. You want to know how to know if you're a stiff-necked person? practical examples that know how you're a stiff-necked person. If you're a person who, when someone is waiting for a parking spot and you have to pull out, you take longer than normal to pull out. Because no one's going to rush you along. And by the way, this little study over here is a study that they did to find out if people who know someone's waiting for a spot actually do take longer. And you know what they found out? They do. They do. And if a person honks a horn, oh, you're going to be waiting. Another little test. If somebody pulls up behind you, they want to go faster, and so they're riding your bumper. And so you go, oh, no, you don't. And you get a little bumper sticker that says, the closer you get, the slower I'll go. Because listen, no one's going to tell me how fast to go. Not me. You got a little passive-aggressive behavior? Have you ever had somebody calling you that you didn't want to talk to, and you purposely had a hearing lapse? You're like, how do they know whether I heard, if I heard? I'll pretend like I don't hear them. These are all signs. And listen, when you do this to people, that's one thing. And by the way, this young man has permission to leave. He is not being stiff-necked, nor does he have a problem with a stiff neck. He actually told me ahead of time. He says, listen, Pastor, I got to go. I said, don't worry, I'll cover for you. Listen, the other thing that God sometimes in his mercy, and we'll close here soon, but the other thing God does sometimes in his mercy is he'll put a bit in you and he'll say, okay, the yoke isn't working. You get a little stiff neck, so I'm going to put a bit in. So when I pull, you'll go. Has anybody ever had God pull you real hard that you had no choice? But let me just tell you, this scripture right here, and I'm actually going to close after this. This scripture right here, if you'll write this down, if you put this on your refrigerator, if you'll mark it in your Bible, because the whole thing, the whole testing, the whole sanctification process can be summed up right here in this, Psalm 32. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. The fire, the cloud, I will do it. I will teach you. I will instruct you. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. Be not like a horse or a mule without understanding, which must be curbed with a bit and bridle, or it will not, what? Stay near. The only thing God wants out of you is for you to stay close. I'll lead you, guide you. And matter of fact, what I want is not the yoke, not the bit. I want to counsel you with what? My eyes. Practice this little discipline. Imagine Jesus with you everywhere you go and see if you can see his eyes leading you and guiding you. Do you understand? The only way you're going to see God's eyes is by intimacy. The only way you're going to get a visual of him leading you and guiding you is by being face to face. And we're going to find out from the story of Moses that Moses eventually gets face to face with God. The current generation misses it. It's the promise or the presence. And I said I was closing, but I guess I can't close until I give you this one final scripture. And here's Moses' answer to God, when God says, you can have the whole promise thing, 5 months, no journeys, no temptations, nothing. But here it is. Moses says, I don't want that deal. I don't want that deal. Because here's what I'm going to tell you, God. If your presence will not go with me, do not bring us up from here. In other words, forget the promised land. Because we are in a church age that is obsessed with promises. God promised me this. He promises you that. He promises you this. You just got to get to God and demand the promise to happen. It's all glory be. And guess what? God says, I'll give you the promise. but you'll be the same selfish, rotten, dirty scoundrels that you've always been. And you'll have the airplane and the diamond rings and all the promises. You'll get them, but you won't have my presence. Moses says, I don't demand the promise. I don't demand the promise. I demand the presence.
Thanks for listening to this message from River Mountain Church. Our church is located in Shepton, Pennsylvania. If you'd like some more information, visit our website, rivermountainchurch.org.